A village in Dane County plans to reverse its decision to remove fluoride from its water after one of the policy's advocates lost his seat in a recall election. It's Friday, January 23rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we'll hear from our politics team on a busy week at the state capitol. And in his first year back in office, President Trump has shaken up America's education system. His push to end diversity initiatives has won praise from many conservatives in Wisconsin.
Create a program for low-income families, and oftentimes you'll benefit African-American families and Hispanic families as well. But we just can't use the language of race.
Stay with us.
Are you an educator looking for ready-to-use classroom content and engaging professional learning? Visit pbswisconsineducation.org for free videos, games, lessons, and more, built to spark curiosity and support state standards. From writing and Wisconsin history to science and music, find what you need at pbswisconsineducation.org.
A village in south-central Wisconsin is preparing to reintroduce fluoride to its water supply. As Sarah Lear reports, the reversal follows more than a year of controversy.
Last year, DeForest trustees narrowly voted to stop adding fluoride to the village's water supply. Since then, one anti-fluoride trustee resigned, and another was ousted in a recall election. Now, the village board is expected to vote next month to undo its prior decision. During a public meeting this week, DeForest resident Mark Stork thanked trustees for revisiting the issue.
I ask you tonight to begin the process of changing a decision that was made because we know better now.
The American Dental Association has championed water fluoridation as a way to prevent cavities. That's despite the popularization of false claims about the dangers of fluoride. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Assembly leaders have announced a bipartisan plan to fund Wisconsin Eye. That's the state public affairs network that went off the air in December, citing funding concerns. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, a Democrat, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a Republican, said they will introduce a bill that would endow WISI with state money while requiring the nonprofit network to also raise funding. The leader said both parties want to promote transparency in government. Here's Neubauer.
This is a really good start. It's very important for the public to have access, and so we're optimistic that we're going to reach a bipartisan solution here soon.
It's still not clear whether the bill would have backing in the state Senate, but Voss said that leadership has had good conversations. He said the goal is to introduce the bill in time to get WISI back up and running in February. Assembly Republicans have passed a bill to keep Wisconsin's flagship land conservation program afloat before it lapses this summer. That's the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, which lets the state buy up land and put it into conservation. Last year, Governor Tony Evers asked for $100 million a year to reauthorize it for a decade. Instead, this bill would spend about $28 million annually for 4 years. It would also add new restrictions. Republican Shea Sortwell of Two Rivers said the Republican proposal can be improved over time.
I would rather take a half a cookie today rather than no cookie today to make sure that we can continue the program.
Democrats were unanimous in voting against the bill, which they said weakens the decades-long program. A spokesperson for Evers said he hopes the legislature can reach a bipartisan agreement that he can sign. A group of senior engineering students at UW-Stout have developed a custom pallet stacker for Ashley Furniture. This happened last year, and now the Wisconsin-based company plans to use the machine in its facilities. The year-long project focused on finding a more efficient way to stack heavy, non-standard pallets used by the furniture maker. Students worked directly with the company using the skills they learned in UW-Stout's engineering program. The manufacturer says the solution they came up with will save money. Zachary Morgan is one of the students who worked on the project. He graduated in December and praised the team's collaboration.
Whenever there was an issue or a question, we'd all gather around, converse, either at a whiteboard or at a computer, and get on the same page.
Ashley plans to replicate the student's design to build 6 more stackers for its facilities. It's still January, but in Wisconsin, politicians are looking ahead to November. From fundraising to candidate forums, WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to talk about the latest examples.
All right, Rich and Anya, so we shouldn't exactly be surprised that people who are in the election business are thinking about the upcoming elections, but it does seem like it's hitting pretty hard all of a sudden here. Rich, let's start with fundraising. We're always looking for where the state's biggest donors are putting their money, and we found out some of that, at least among Republicans.
That's right, Sean. These numbers are just a snapshot in time for the last 6 months of 2025, but the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee got $3 million from Republican mega donor Elizabeth Uteline and another $1 million from fellow mega donor Diane Hendricks. Those donations helped the committee outraise its Democratic counterpart by fourfold. A bit of the opposite situation in the Senate. Democrats' Senate Fundraising Committee brought in twice what its Republican counterpart did. And all of this comes amid the battle for the majority in the state legislature.
And we also got some numbers in the race for governor. What story did they tell?
A story of a potentially spirited and competitive 7-way primary in August. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Madison State Representative Francesca Hong, Madison State Senator Kelda Royce, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Director Missy Hughes, and former Department of Administration Secretary Joel Brennan are all in the race. During the last 6 months of 2025, Crowley raised around $790,000, Rodriguez raised around $618,000, and Brennan and Barnes both raised north of $500,000. On the Republican side, we've got a 2-way primary between Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. Tiffany is considered the favorite in the GOP primary, and he raised around $2 million. Shulman brought in around $536,000.
And speaking of the Democratic candidates for governor, Anya, they had their first big joint forum in Milwaukee Wednesday night. You were there. What was it like?
Yeah, it was the first time all 7 of the major candidates shared a stage, and shout out to Rich for listing them so I don't have to. But 7 candidates is a lot of candidates. So as you can imagine, there was a ton to get through, and the event ended up going long as each candidate really tried to stand out among the crowd.
Based on what you heard at this event, what kind of a primary is shaping up here?
Democrats have this tricky tightrope that they have to walk, which is that they need to distinguish themselves, but they also don't really want to weaken their fellow Democrats because it's going to be a tough general election fight no matter what. So they don't really want to give ammunition to the eventual Republican nominee. And so you kind of saw that on this stage. It was really cordial, and also everyone more or less agreed on the big broad strokes that we need to expand Medicaid, we need better access to childcare, we need paid family and medical leave. But then there are these little differences in terms of details and the aspects of their existing records that they want to point to. And the stakes of winning the governor's race are really high because, of course, that gives your party veto power. But there's kind of an exception there, which are constitutional amendments. Sean, you've written about a few that are going to go before voters this November.
Yeah, the state Senate was busy with them specifically this week. One of the amendments that they passed would deal with DEI, or diversity, equity, and inclusion. Another amendment headed to the ballot would deal with public health orders. It would say that governments may not order the closure or forbid gatherings in places of worship in response to a public health emergency. And then you had a third amendment that will probably head to ballots as soon as it passes the assembly. And it provides that the governor can't use his partial veto power, which is very powerful in Wisconsin, to create or increase taxes or fees.
You know, I went back and checked, and every single major statewide election since I moved to Wisconsin 3 years ago has featured a constitutional amendment or 2, but 3 seems like a lot.
It could reflect a few things. I mean, for one, it is a reflection that Republicans feel strongly enough about these issues that they want to make them effectively permanent. But also, there is no guarantee that they're going to control both houses of the legislature after November. If that's the case, then they might not have a chance to put up constitutional amendments like these again for the near future.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer speaking with political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, we'll take a look at the effect of the Trump administration's education policies, including the end of some student loan programs and diversity initiatives. Stay with us.
Hello, it's Michelle Martin. At Morning Edition, we bring you the news of the day, but also conversations about art.
The piano was where I left all of my words and all of my stories and all of my pain.
Scientific findings.
In total, I think we looked at over 500 specimens. That's a lot of poop.
And stories that make you smile. Start your weekdays informed and inspired with Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, this week WPR is taking a look at how the Trump administration's policies have reshaped Wisconsin 1 year in. From the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education to withholding billions of federal dollars, K-12 and post-secondary education saw unprecedented changes over the last year. Corrine Hess has more on the cancellation of one of the grants used to train special education teachers in Milwaukee.
The school day is almost over at Pulaski High School on Milwaukee's south side, and most students are packing up to leave. But Sarah Lind is still helping a student struggling with her English homework.
So that's how they're similar. What do you think is unusual about that?
It takes some time, but Lind and the young woman figure it out before the last bell. Lind is a special education teacher who moves from room to room at Pulaski to help students where needed. This is a second career for Lind that almost didn't happen. Last year, just as she was finishing a teacher residency program through the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the federal funding for the project was cut by the Trump administration.
We were all like, are we going to be able to continue? Are we going to still be able to get our teaching license, continue in this program? What are we going to do? Are we going to be stuck with this degree that's half done? Are we going to have to pay this back?
Lind was one of 36 people to join the UW-Madison Teacher Residency Program in 2023. The program was a partnership between the university and MPS. It provided graduate students with on-the-job training for a year while they completed their master's degree in special education. In return, students pledged to stay at MPS to teach after graduation. The partnership was funded by a five-year, $3.3 million federal grant. Michael Harris is the chief of staff for MPS. He says it's always a struggle to fill special education positions, so the program was a great opportunity.
It was really like the gold standard, the way that it was structured.
Then, in February 2025, the education department abruptly canceled the grant. According to the department, the money was being used to, quote, train teachers and education agencies on divisive ideologies. MPS approved funding to keep the program alive, while UW-Madison appealed the decision. Harris says the district didn't want to lose teachers.
We knew that we needed to make sure that we were taking care of these individuals so that we could retain them in the long run.
In August, UW-Madison learned the Department of Education denied their appeal. 3 days after his January 20th inauguration, President Trump issued an executive order to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion from schools. In Wisconsin, that's resulted in the termination of previously approved, federally funded projects across the state's public universities. Kimber Wilkerson is the project director of the teacher residency program at UW-Madison. She says the application described recruiting teachers from a diverse pool of candidates. In her view, that didn't make the program a DEI initiative.
It's hard to appeal when the basis for the termination feels like it's hard to understand.
Will Flanders is a research director at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He believes the Trump administration has made common sense reforms to education that most Americans support. He cited reinstating Title IX regulations in girls' sports, federal tax credits for private schools, and dismantling the Department of Education to remove bureaucracy. Flanders says the Trump administration has been clear. By removing DEI from education, the people will not be judged by their skin color.
You know, if you want to have programs that benefit sort of downtrodden individuals, there's still an opportunity for that. You just can't use racial terms to do it. Create a program for low-income families, and oftentimes you'll benefit African-American families and Hispanic families as well, but we just can't use the language of race.
Wilkerson says in her more than two decades at UW-Madison, she has never had a federal grant rescinded. In fact, until last year, she says she felt like her work is an extension of the work being done by the Department of Education. Now, she says, educators are having to reinterpret what their goals are. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. An extreme cold warning still in effect for all of Wisconsin today. Wind chills anywhere from 25 to 50 degrees below zero this morning. Actual high temperatures not expected to get above zero today. An extreme cold warning is still in effect for northern Wisconsin overnight. A cold weather advisory in effect for central and southern Wisconsin overnight. Lows tonight anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees below zero. And that'll do it for this very cold Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.